Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is trumpeter and composer Dave Douglas. He's an exciting player whose music is constantly evolving as he searches for new and different ways to express himself. The result is a surprising mix of clarity, logic, and sometimes whimsical ideas. That's all true, isn't it, Dave?
Well, gosh.
And much more.
Thank you.
I don't know. It's amazing. It seems to me that you sort of made a meteor-like rise onto the jazz scene a few years, not that long ago, really, 2 or 3 years ago.
I've had the good fortune to work with a lot of great independent record labels that have let me produce my own music. So over the last, I'd say, 7 or 8 years, I've made 15 records with different ensembles, and I feel blessed to have been able to kind of do that my own way and get it out there.
Well, and not only that, you've done, it hasn't been like a one-style group. You've had all these different groups, like you're experimenting with violin and all kinds of other instruments and Balkan music. And mm-hmm, I mean, it's mm-hmm. amazing, and they're all good, each in their own way. But they're all an expression of what you're trying to do, is to do something really original, I guess.
Yeah, they're all different aspects of what I'm hearing in music, and part of what is so exciting about having those groups is that the players are available here in New York. That what inspires me is hearing exciting young players and sharing the bandstand with them and getting to compose for them. So each of these groups is a chance for me to write for different favorite musicians of mine.
I saw in something I read you had Don Byron was one of your people you worked with. I love him. I think he's fantastic. But now I got really excited when I heard about this recording that you made with a lot of the music of Mary Lou Williams. You must have heard a lot of the music of Mary Lou somewhere.
Yeah, I actually I first heard her name in 87 when I was working with Horace Silver. He talked about her quite a bit, and it took me, I guess, about 10 years to actually heed the the advice. It was when I heard the Zodiac Suite, actually, her piano trio version, that I felt, you know, here's this really important, somewhat overlooked figure in the 20th century jazz music tradition.
Yeah.
And I started researching, and I found pretty much every recording I could that was available in the marketplace and started transcribing things. And the more I looked, the more excited I got about how pioneering she was.
Well, you know, it's so wonderful that you're doing this because Mary Lou, to a great degree, has been overlooked. Even when she was alive, she didn't really do all the things she should have done. Mm-hmm. Although she was somebody, what I loved about her playing was that she always was on the edge. She never sat back and said, well, that's it, I've done that. She was always experimenting. And I guess that's what you liked about her, too.
I think that's a big inspiration for me, is that right from the teens up until 81 when she passed away, she really was never sitting back and resting.
No.
She was always on the front, the cutting edge of the music.
Well, you know what would be fun? If we could maybe do one of her tunes as a duet, what do you think?
I think that'd be great.
Well, I always thought one of her prettiest tunes, although it was sort of short tune, was one called Cloudy. So maybe we could do that. What do you think?
That would be fun.
Okay. Thank you. You know, it never ceases to amaze me that two people that can just get together and play something right off the bat. I think it's wonderful. You know, we don't have to sit down in Woodshed for 10 hours. Just sit there and play.
Well, her music is built to play, too. A piece like that is just a joy to...
It is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I have no idea when Mary Lou wrote that thing. I mean, she wrote so many things when she was like about 15 or 16. Or some, mm-hmm. You probably mm-hmm. heard some of the things she did with Andy Kirk and the band.
Absolutely, yeah. And with Far Terrell, the singer,
yeah,
who I guess was a big hit at the time.
Yeah, and some of them... Well, you've really researched Mary Lou. I mean, actually, what with the book on Mary Lou that came out and by Linda Dahl, and she wrote your liner notes for mm-hmm, your mm-hmm. for your record. I think that's just terrific. So, but something, you know, I don't even know. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Montclair, New Jersey.
Oh.
Which is right near the city. So I've always been a New Yorker in one way or another.
Boy, you really don't have a Jersey accent, thank God.
I'm working on my Brooklyn accent.
Oh, man. Well, how did you get started playing? Was it a musical family?
Everyone in my family, I'm the youngest of four, and everyone was playing a different instrument in the family. And I think that's something that's a little bit lost, unfortunately, now. But in elementary school, we were all given instruments to play, and I played in the band and the orchestra from a very small age, and heard music around the house. I heard my father had the Smithsonian collection of classic jazz, which I went through from start to finish when I was very small.
Pretty nice.
So I was exposed to Billie Holiday and Coleman Hawkins, as well as Cecil Taylor and Ornette Coleman, and Thelonious Monk and Miles Davis. And, of course, my older sisters were listening to Stevie Wonder and the Beatles, and there was also classical music around. So it was really just from listening to music that I got the bug.
Well, you've got such fantastic technique, or chops, I should say. Did you start out classically trained? Did you have a teacher?
I did. I was classical training until I was probably 14 or 15. But I never felt like I would be able to be a classical player because I would, as soon as I memorized the piece, I would close my eyes and just change the notes as I saw fit. I could never play the thing the same twice in a row.
So obviously a dedicated jazz person.
I think so.
Already
actually,
at 14.
It's interesting because... Mal Waldron, the great pianist, made a Music Minus One record, probably in the 60s, which found its way into my house. And I think when I was 10 or 11, I would just drop the needle and just play along with my eyes closed. And
that
was
pretty
my first...
far out, Music Minus One. That would be pretty interesting to start with.
Well, I have thanked Mal for doing that.
I'll bet you have. Well, now we have a wonderful bassist to add to the scene, James Genus on bass. We could do a trio tune. Maybe we could do another Mary Lou tune. What do you think?
Fantastic, yeah.
Scratching in the Gravel. I don't know where she gets these titles.
But this one goes way back, right? Isn't this from this is probably from the Andy Kirk period of the
30s? It could be. I don't, at one point in the, she came to our house for dinner, Jimmy and myself, and she wrote out this tune for me. Mm. And I still have it. But she wrote it in pencil. I think I'm going to have to frame it before it fades away. But it's a nice, simple, swinging kind of tune. So what do you say?
Let's do it. Thank you.
How did you get started playing? Like, what was your first gig? Did you play somewhere in New Jersey?
No, it's a funny story, actually. My first gig was when I was a school year abroad student in Barcelona.
Oh, how nice.
And I was, I guess, 14 or 15, and it was a repertoire of Tin Pan Alley standards and salsa tunes and flamenco numbers and Jobim, bossa novas, and Thelonious Monk tunes.
Well, was it a big band?
No, it was like a sextet. I just happened to fall in with some musicians who were my age that were into all kinds of music. This was in a small suburb outside of Barcelona.
Well, how did you get there? I mean, was it an exchange student?
It was an exchange program, and I was with a Catalan family in Barcelona, Spain.
My goodness.
And, yeah, interesting. You know, you grow up right near New York, and then you end up playing your first gig in this place so far away.
Well, but, I mean, you had to have yourself together to do that kind of a gig and know all those tunes.
Well, I don't know if I had myself together, but I think as an American, I had an advantage that they all assumed that I had myself together.
So oh, yeah, you're an American, you must be a good player.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, well, it definitely all worked out. I mean, what a wonderful bunch of different composers to learn their music. I mean, Jobim, mm-hmm. Wow, and Monk, too.
It's actually, I don't know if you know Jorge Rossi, the drummer for Brad Meldow's trio.
Just by actually. Name, and I think I heard them on the air, but I have not met him.
Fantastic drummer, and actually he's my age, and he was in Barcelona at that time, so we played together when we were 15 years old.
Well, that's great. I mean, it's getting that more musicians are sort of mixing together from different countries, and it's sort of getting to be more of a big melting pot than it
Absolutely.
Was before. That's great.
And I think it's good for the music, because it brings in a lot of different viewpoints.
That's true. Well, we'll have more talk and music in a minute, but first I want to let you know that my guest is Dave Douglas with bassist James Genus. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz, made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. I'd like to talk a little bit more about Mary Lou, because you incorporated so many of her things, her tunes, into your new record. What is that called, by the way? Soul?
It's called Soul on Soul.
Soul on Soul.
It's how Duke Ellington described her.
Oh, really?
There's a great Duke Ellington quote where he talks about how perpetually contemporary Mary Lou Williams is, and he describes her as being soul on soul.
Boy, he really knew how to use the English language, didn't
mm-hmm.
he?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic guy. Well, this, I remember her playing this when I heard her one time at the Cookery. And I mean, I forget who wrote this, My Blue Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you do? You took it and changed it around a little.
Well, first of all, she took it and changed it around in 63. After she had come back from, I think she dropped out of music for about 7 or 8 years.
Yes, she did.
And she came back and had this wonderful band with Percy Heath and Tim Kennedy. And she recorded My Blue Heaven, but she had changed the chords of the piece and also the feeling of the piece. And so, inspired by that, I took the changes she had made and then added my own changes on top of them. So I call this piece Blue Heaven.
Oh, I'd love to hear it. And you and James are going to play this as a duo.
Okay.
Terrific. Thank you. To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.